And welcome to part two of the podcast episode, The Soundtrack of Our Lives, featuring my best friend, Stefan. Thanks for listening to the Sean Vieg podcast. Want to learn more about me? Go to SeanViegFitness.com. And now, without further ado, here's part two of The Soundtrack of Our Lives.
Yeah, it's a paper boy, and then don't forget 720
Skater Die. Oh, I know what I'm an idiot not mentioning. 720 Stefan, and that's a good segue. That's a good segue. 720, tell us. You tell us, Stefan, what's the theme of 720?
It is to jump over as many obstacles as you can to get points in order to get into a park. And there's four parks.
What do you mean jump over? What are you doing?
So you're doing an ollie?
What are you using? What is it?
Well, your skateboard.
Skateboarding. I'd even say you're thrashing.
Oh, well, excuse me. I thought damn, thrashing. I'm assuming everybody knows what 720 is, so I apologize.
I know
skateboard.
In our world, I agree with you. I'm like, well, yeah, you don't. It reminds me of Seinfeld. You haven't seen The English Patient? You haven't played 720? Yeah, I haven't, so I can't tell you if it was good or if it really sucked.
Seinfeld
is a whole nother soundtrack.
We've talked about that before. It had a different joystick where you kind of spun it in a circular motion. It didn't go up, down, left, right. And it was awesome. It had a great soundtrack, and the bees would come and kill you, which was a really, I would love to like hear an interview of the guy that designed the gameplay and say, yeah, I thought like the bees would come and kill you after a minute and 30 seconds.
Yeah, what were the alternatives? Okay, we got bees, you got a bear, a helicopter.
Well, how about the cops? Wouldn't it be more logical that the cops would come and say, you guys can't skateboard here?
And that's true. Like the police watch you for 30 seconds. Okay, that's enough. But they don't arrest anybody else. 720. Soundtrack. The music on it was great, but that was another game I would fantasize because you had the whole skate park, and then, as you said, when the time was up, the bees would come, and you'd have to go into one of the four. There was slalom, half pipe, jump. Was there another? Slalom was terrible. And all I wanted to do was skate in the park because there were ramps in the park. There were those things that would shoot you up in the air, which was really safe. And there was all these little bodies of water you would jump over. And that was a thing, too. I would think about that a lot. You and I skateboarded, of course, for a couple years in real life. And I think when we were skateboarding, for myself, the two things I would think about was the movie Thrashin' and also that video game, 720.
Yeah, the whole Thrashin' movie. So I only watched really two influences of skateboarding was Thrashin'. I think Bones Brigade.
Howell Peralta. That's Stacy Peralta, I think.
You
Howell
had that, Peralta. But yeah, Thrashin' we had, and that was such an influence on me. That was so cool, the daggers. Hook and the daggers.
It's
what's the actor
story?
That's Hook? I know Josh
that's
Brolin.
Robert Russler.
Yeah,
and
so
we were talking earlier about Ari, your daughter, and I remember her. We were talking about how she likes musicals. And I remember when you guys came to visit me in Florida, she was curled up on the couch watching West Side Story on her phone. And I thought that was really neat. And Thrashin' is an old updated version of West Side Story, which is a version of Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
Going back. So if you really want to go back to Shakespeare, I just had Thrashin' on a couple days ago. I watch it about once every 2 weeks. I find it so inspiring. There it is, the soundtrack. I put that on to, it makes me feel good, makes me want to get out and do things. In Florida, I would put it on before I would go out and film.
Wild in the Streets.
Yep. Wild in the Streets.
Yeah, good stuff.
I was playing the commentary for Jillian the other day, too. I said, oh, Stefan and I memorized the commentary. Funny thing, commentary, Stefan, was over 15 years ago now. I believe it was 2003 they did the commentary for that movie.
Yeah,
I could be wrong. But
so interesting to see the culture behind it was so innocent and trying to portray that the other guys were so evil, the daggers. But
the daggers.
I mean, skateboarding on itself is such an innocent hobby. Why Well, you have to associate it with like punks and thugs, because I remember like being in a small town in West Salem.
It's a conduit, I suppose. It's creating an image from a little board with trucks and wheels on it.
Well, you had to have the persona. You know what I mean?
Like social media back in the 80s. You're creating something that you want people to see.
I'm a skateboarder. I'm a bad boy. You know, you don't. It's like George Costanza when he's dating that girl, and all of a sudden she finds out he's a bad egg, and then she's attracted to him because of that. He's like, he tries to play it up. And my favorite scene, and I think you would agree in that whole episode, is he's like, is this your FiberCon? And he whips, or is it your orthopedic pillow? And he whips it out the window.
And then Elaine catches him with the girl. He goes, hey, I told you to stay away from him. He goes, I ain't doing nothing. And he buys us a dare, and he cuffs his jeans. And then he has a toothpick, and he points at her. She's like, oh, the bad boy. And he's at home ironing, and she calls him. And he's like, what are you up to? She's like, you don't want to know.
You don't want to know when he's ironing his shirts or whatever.
His shirts or his boxer shorts. Skateboarding, interesting topic, because there was a lot of different. You guys always called me the businessman. Remember, because I didn't go for all the. I wore the Van shoes, but I would wear a t-shirt and probably Hawaiian shorts, and I had my hair cut really short. That was it. I didn't go for a lot of the fancy clothes and more of the look, growing my hair out. I remember you guys called me the businessman skateboarder. I didn't have a briefcase, though. That would have really topped it off.
Yeah, no, that was, I think it was all based on the haircut that you had. You had shorter hair and everyone else.
Scrubby. They called me scrubby because, my hair really short feels like a scrub brush.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I ever called you the businessman. I think I don't.
Some other guys, but I really enjoyed it. Skateboarding, the more you and I talk about it and I think about it, it really has influenced me a lot, because skateboarding, I explained it to my mom and to Jillian before. I said, you would go out, all it is a 7-ply board, trucks, and a wheel, and you would create an entire universe. And the things that people, a skateboarder sees a town very differently than the average person. Most people don't notice curbs or steps or drainage ditches, things like that. A skateboarder, that's heaven. Those are toys. A curb, you could spend 4 hours doing tricks on a little old curb that nobody would ever notice. Or in West Salem, Wisconsin, behind Napa, there was a ledge up there that we would do ollies off of and acid drops for hours until somebody would come and kick us out, or a cop would come cruising through the alley. And nobody ever gave a second thought to those things. But we had so much fun doing that. We would build launch ramps and fly off those for hours and hours. And it was, I guess they would call it now, zero waste, zero emissions, other than us bragging and probably talking crap and stuff, which is what you do, and eating a lot of taffy.
Well, I think the coolest thing, the soundtrack of skateboarding that I have, is the tennis courts where we filmed, where we actually just played recently last year, where the weeds were so tall that it dug into my shoe,
man. And
made me bleed.
Yeah, in a tennis like court. I was thinking, I know what my mom pays for property tax around here. This is unacceptable.
Right.
But no, we would. Burrs.
We would often, so skateboarding in a tennis court doesn't sound exciting, but the coolest thing in the soundtrack of it was we went to IGA, we got a bunch of like really bad candy and snacks and Jolt
Colas
and all this horrible garbage stuff. But I'll never forget, and this is a shout out to Solomon Leonard, probably the best skateboarder that ever came out of West Salem.
He was the best one in the area. He was a real sweet guy too.
He could ollie over the tennis court net.
Wow.
And back then in the 80s, that was unheard of. Now it's like on YouTube, everyone did it, but this kid, he was so good on a skateboard, and I'll never forget that, like when he like ollied over a tennis court net, I was like, that was amazing. that is crazy.
So cool. He was a pioneer, because we were all learning as we went. We got a board and we go out and practice. We try things. Nobody told us what to do. So I think somebody taught me how to do an ollie, but then you take it from there. It's all organic.
How did he know how to do that? There was no YouTube. There was no manual. you just started trying stuff and doing things. Uh-huh. And I think that was so cool to be influenced by someone like that. And it's like, oh, that was super neat to mm-hmm. see.
I remember one day I hung out with him. Our little town of West Salem, when you're a younger kid, it feels like it feels like its own country, your little town. They talk about that in Stand By Me. He grows up in this little town, but for him, it was the whole world. There's so much to do. Every block is different. There's a different person living on each block that you know. It's always an adventure. And Solomon Leonard, he was cool because he was really good. He even went to La Crosse, it was a kind of a small city. It's still there next to West Salem, and he would skateboard. But he was real humble, real sweet guy, real thin. I remember kind of like a Tony Hawk. And one day, for some reason, I had the opportunity to skateboard with him for a while. It was just he and I, and I felt so special. I thought that was so neat because he was a few years older than we were.
Yeah, going back to the soundtrack, I mean, I had similar experiences with freestyle bikes. So there's a guy called Doug Kornmeyer, I think was his last name.
Kornmeyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was – these guys were like 4 years older than us. So we looked up to him, but – I just remember the Beastie Boys playing whatever album, that first album they had, and like trying to mimic all the tricks he was doing on a freestyle bike. So anytime I hear the Beastie Boys, that I think "Licensed to Ill,"
That's it. "Fight for Your Right to Party." That was
Every time I hear that, I instantly go back to like middle school in freestyle bikes and Haro and like all the BMX type stuff. Mm-hmm. Instantly go right back there.
It's the Kenny Chesney song. I go back.
Right.
I heard it today, absolutely. And I couldn't help but sing along. Boom. Whether good or bad, it's the soundtrack of your life, and it involves so much activity. I like that. As opposed to, oh, this song reminds me of laying on my couch. This song reminds me of laying in a hammock. This song reminds me of sitting in a chair. That's okay, but I want experiences. I want to look like, oh, man, that was great. Out skateboarding all day. I remember watching you do your freestyle bike in those tennis courts. You kept trying to do Around the World, right? It was called Around the World. You kept racking your groin.
Yeah, and I broke up with someone because my girlfriend made fun of me.
You can say her name.
Well, Lonnie. She was laughing. I said, "That's it. We're broken up."
Lonnie was a hoot. I remember you kept spinning around those handlebars, and I couldn't tell if you were getting close to completing it. It looked impressive, but you couldn't land the thing. And you kept thing about a skateboard. There's not so many metal bars and such to rack your groin on. Right. And other parts of your body, you fall, and unless the board wants to, you know, shoot up into your groin. Well, that sounds great. That's a great soundtrack. Yow!
Well, think about this. So the reason why I brought up the soundtrack in a text message, so I mentioned to you that Brock had his first dance, and they call him sock hops. I don't know why they just call him a dance.
That's a 50s term.
Yeah, it's you have your first dance, and I thought it was interesting. I didn't stay for it because I was a cool dad. I let him be. But when I picked him up, I was out wandering the halls of the school and thinking about our childhood. But it was so interesting to think what this generation is going to be like. That song brings me back because it's a lot of hip hop and a lot of tracks that we don't really necessarily have any emotional tie to, but they will. Like, hey, remember when we were in elementary school and we had a dance and this was the song and we had a special dance for it? It's like, mm-hmm. I can't think of any song that we had that we like had a dance. And I think that's the difference, how detailed orientated today's culture is versus ours. We really didn't have where you would watch someone as an influencer online and go, oh, this is the dance to this song. We just had our own, we had our own imagination.
We made it up as we went along. We create our own stuff. You and I could talk about all these weird dances we used to do. Because when you start having co-ed dances at school, the boys and girls, we talk about that. The guys, we didn't know what to do. Like, what do you mean you dance with a girl? What do you do? Or, okay, a fast song comes on. We jump around. We just jump around. Like, hey, Stefan, check this out. And we just make up dances all the time. and jump around, and the girls would be scowling at us. Or sometimes, and all of a sudden, they'd all start crying because something was going. I remember that at one dance, they all started crying, all the girls, about something, and we were like, "What's going on?" Like, "Oh, we can't tell you." And so you learn as you go along.
It was almost like
I think those were more fun than when dances got quote serious. These were totally uninhibited. As long as you're not hurting anybody else, you jump around and dance.
Well, you could almost look at it from a perspective of a documentary or a sociologist, like looking at the 80s dance structure and go,
it's a lab experiment.
Right. Like, oh, the group of girls, something's going on and they're moving away from the dance floor. Something's happening. And yep. Let's see the boys' reaction. They don't seem to care.
Well, we don't know what to do. There's such a disconnect. Right. The girls hit, they mature so much earlier than we do. And I mean, we're just, it is what it is. It's junior high. It's a whole different world when everyone starts hitting puberty at different times. You're learning as you go along, and all of a sudden, all these emotions come in that you didn't have before. Like you start, right. I remember when junior high, I started thinking or worrying a little bit what people thought of me. I never cared about that before. I would take that home with me from school, like, oh, Brandon called me an idiot today, and now I that hurt my feelings. Before, I didn't care about that.
Right.
Stupid Brandon. He'd just laugh if I told him that now. But it's, and let me, the big thing too at these dances now, is Brock, are they allowed to take their cell phones in?
Yeah, they can, but it was actually refreshing to see everyone just having fun, and they were all in pockets of, you know, 10 to 15 kids doing their thing.
Yeah, you break up into groups.
Yeah, there was a couple people, so my son said that a couple people were Instagramming the dance and that stuff, yeah. But his group of friends were just having a blast, and it reminded me of you and I and just jumping around. That's what they were doing. So that was really refreshing to see.
Yeah, I think about that, dropping a cell phone into childhood. And I can see how it could easily obliterate the childhoods that we knew, where if we wanted to interact with someone, we would either call them or go see them. And we never really cared what else was going on beyond who we were with and what we were talking about and what we were doing. We didn't care about what else was going on. Oh, I wonder what they're doing over there. I wonder what they're posting. Oh, I really have to find out what they're having for dinner. I hope they post their food.
Well, think about
recently. Wait, one more thing. I saw a comedian recently talking about he was hanging out with his grandmother, and she was showing him these photos, old photos she had. And she said every photo had a big story behind them, a really interesting story. And he said, I got to thinking about people now in 50 years, they're going to be showing photos to their grandchildren and saying, well, here's what I had for dinner this day. Here's what I had for lunch. And here's a selfie of myself in front of Target. Here's another selfie. Here's 20 more selfies, you know, stuff like that. In the years ago, if you took a photo, it was a much bigger deal. You really wanted to capture a moment. And I'm not complaining about the technology. It's incredible. But you look at our old photos you would hold in your hand, and they meant a lot more. They weren't as prevalent, and you had to wait for them to be developed anyway.
Well, time is money. Absolutely. The
I
thing
think
I was
1 hour.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, the thing I was going to say is like you had your parents threw the awesome sixth grade and eighth grade party at your house.
I got them on tape.
And the sound, you should put those on YouTube and link to them. But the soundtrack of that, instead of like kids now, they don't get together at like parties. It's more social on the app, whether it's Instagram or Snapchat. And they're a small cluster of friends, like two or three friends. We had, so what would you say? You'd had like eight boys, eight girls, maybe?
Roughly? Yeah, it was usually 8 to 10. And yeah. There was always, it was interesting, when you would invite to these parties, there was always the certain boys and girls that were always on the list. And then there were some that were probably, and there was always a few that were on the cusp. I remember thinking about that, like, that's really interesting from a sociological standpoint. Out of all the kids, these are the ones, and then these are the ones who will probably come. And these, we don't know. We'll see how they act this week before the party.
Well, I was always lucky.
Bring me a gift.
to my knowledge, I always got invited. So I never really thought about it, but thinking about it as an adult, how fortunate I was to actually attend all these things. It was so much fun. I think the best party I ever went to, and her name was Meredith, and lived in Innsbruck. And we went there, and it was a Halloween theme party. And I went as the it from the Neshonic Lake. And then had the infamous shirt.
I was a punk. I went as a punk, whatever that means. And at first, I wrote all these different expressions on the shirt. And one of them I wrote said, "Eat me." And my mom saw that. She goes, "You can't have that on there." So I put a B in the front. Beat me. And then what did you guys do? I remember this about halfway through the party.
You ripped the shirt off.
A whole bunch of you. I mean, we were all friends. Like, let's get them. Let's beat them. Beat on me. That would have added a whole new dimension to the party. But you ripped the shirt to shreds. So I spent the rest of the party showing off my nipples.
Right. But all the great 80s songs and the slow dances. But we had some great stuff in those parties where I remember Meredith, they had the pumpkin pies or something. And we started like a food fight. And I felt kind of bad about it. But in the instant of it, like, you can't give a seventh, eighth grader, whatever we were at the time, a pie with whipped cream and not expect anything bad to happen. You know,
no, it's always going to go on the edge of insanity.
Right.
Like, especially the more Mountain Dew that we drank.
Oh, man. Yeah. But no, thinking back about all those parties, I hope my kids can have those experiences because those were so great. I was thinking about when I said soundtrack to you the other day in the text message, all the parties that I attended as a kid in, you know, starting right around sixth grade. I think your party that you had for your birthday was one of the first. It wasn't your birthday party in sixth grade. It was eighth grade, right?
Was
your birthday?
Yeah, sixth grade was in the fall. My birthday's in July 28th, if anyone wants to send me something. But I have that. Well, we're talking about soundtracks. We're talking about music. This party, Stefan, this was sixth grade. What two songs did my dad record the boys jumping around and lip syncing?
So Rock Me Amadeus by Falco. Yep.
Falco from Austria.
And then We Built This City by
Starship. Yeah, Starship. We Built This City. I don't think I would like that song as much, but talk about soundtracks. That song makes me feel so good whenever I hear it. I start belting it out. I don't even know the lyrics. My holy face to mama. What does he say? My whole...
Eat I don't know.
Paste with mama, listen to the radio, don't you remember? And I didn't know the lyrics. And then, of course, Rock Me Amadeus is a whole bunch of German, and we're all kind of mouthing German. A lot of the boys were German, but we didn't speak German. So
it definitely put those online. I think that's so great that your dad had he was always recording. Always, and that's just great. He always influences the camera, and I think that's why you're so successful at what you do behind the camera, and you have such a comfort level is because your dad introduced it at such an early stage of your life. It
was God bless my dad. My dad was, it's interesting because he didn't like to spend a lot of money in certain ways. My parents were always very generous with my sister and I, but my dad bought a VCR in 1977 when we lived in Manhattan Beach, California. One of the first people out there, you wouldn't expect it from him because I would never expect him to buy something like that because back then a VCR was probably a few thousand dollars. And he bought the first VCR. When we moved to Wisconsin, he bought a camcorder. And you had to carry the VCR. This was a different VCR, this whole set with the camcorder for it to work. But once I figure out how to work that camcorder, I was off to the races and doing home videos with friends and by myself. Videos.
That's probably from what, fourth grade on, we made so many videos.
I started in 1984 or five. And I've mentioned this before, but we used to do sleepovers a lot, whether it was you or a lot of my other friends. And if you stayed over at my house, this was out in the country, outside of West Salem, out in Berry Mills, or Wolfridge Court was a road. So if anyone's listening from Wolfridge Court, woo, all 10 of you, Mr. Kepnick lives in Wolfridge Court. Don't go say hi to him. And if you stayed overnight, you were guaranteed we were going to do some filming. And that was fun. I'd always host some kind of talk show and we'd have guests on. And it always would end up punching each other or wrestling or shooting off cap guns. And it was a lot of fun, but I don't know. You could do a whole podcast on the soundtrack from doing home videos. We used to play Journey. I had Journey on tape. We would play that. Chris Johnson lip synced a Journey song one time, or was it REO Speedwagon? I think
my favorite memory of the soundtrack of making videos with you was Escape from the Nebraska Mountains, which the title says it all, right?
You made that up on the spot, too.
I did.
And we fleshed out a Karate Kid kind of storyline about it. This kid who wanted to go play basketball. It was really something. And also, we had no editing. I didn't have any editing equipment. I would have had to buy something really involved back then. So we had to know our stuff. I think we would plan a scene a little bit and then go with it. That's just what we're doing now with the podcast, Stefan. I love that. I love that. The soundtrack from home videos we've kept the line going into our podcast and what else we do.
Absolutely.
I love that because, you know, it's stuff you're excited about. It's hard to put into words. It's a feeling. It's a feeling when you watch those home videos or you hear Aha singing that. I want to ask you something. We were talking about skateboarding. What are some of our skateboarding songs?
Skateboarding.
What were they?
You Spin Me Right Round, whoever did that one.
Yeah, Dead or Alive.
Dead or Alive. REM, It's the End of the World, I remember. Mm-hmm. I think
but
that's
this what was. We skateboarded, this was 86, 87, around then, right? 88, junior high time, because we were freshmen in 1989.
Man, what?
But we didn't have, you know, I see skateboarders now with the earbuds in all the time. I never went skateboarding with music.
We didn't really have music.
No, I'd stuff a few dollars in my shorts and go. That was it. And you take the board.
That could be a title of a podcast. I stuffed a few dollars in my shoes. $2. And I go.
I'm a stripper, and I was rewarding myself. I used to do strippograms, but that's a whole other story.
Amazing. Imagine if we did have music, though, when we were doing it. We'd probably be more successful at doing our tricks or whatever, but we really didn't have music.
Well, I'm sure we would set up a boombox while we were doing skating on a ramp or a launch ramp, but it's also rather dangerous to go skateboarding with earbuds in. You want to be aware of your surroundings.
I remember, just looking back at those times, it was INXS.
Yeah, INXS was a big one. Swing and Kick, those two albums. Thrashing, I suppose, and from Bones Brigade videos, they would play some really things. Remember the Search for Animal Chin? They had some really cool music. They were in Wallows at huge drainage ditch in Hawaii.
Yeah.
The Tony Hawk and Caballero, Christian Asoy, I think he was in there. Lance Mountain.
Well, I can remember the music, but I couldn't tell you who it was because we didn't have the technology to like look up the artist or any, you didn't have the internet. So you just like, no. Oh yeah, I remember that song, but
it
I couldn't
tell you who it is. Like, what is that song? It was You Spin Me Right Round. It was in a video called Border Wars. And it was this half pipe. It was a smaller one. I actually found it on YouTube a few months ago, Border Wars. And it was filmed in Canada, and it was all the big skaters. And one of the times the guy was doing the half pipe, they were playing that You Spin Me Right Round like a record. And it was so catchy. I'm like, what is that song? I suppose I probably asked my sister because she had all the cassette tapes. Mm. But those kind of soundtracks, man, you appreciate it so much more when you get your hands on it. As opposed to, go on Napster, go on whatever, and you can listen anything you want. Within about 3 seconds, you could have that song playing. I kind of like it when you had to wait and try to find it. There was a song called Run, Run Away by Slade. Do you know that song?
I do.
Came out in the 80s, and my favorite song of the 80s is Run, Run Away by Slade, this old glam rock group. They were fantastic. And when I worked at Musicland in college, seasonally, Musicland at the Valley View Mall, I had powers, so I could actually order that CD. And that was so exciting to sit in the parking lot at Viterbo University where I went and listen to that song again. It had been years because I couldn't, where would I listen to it? If it wasn't current anymore, the radio wasn't playing it. It wasn't quite classic rock. So I had to wait. And I probably listened to it 30 times in a row.
It was 1984. I was tingling. 1984, my good man, British rock band.
Keep Your Hands Off My Power Supply, right? That's the album.
Yep.
And the video.
Keep Your Hands Off My Power Supply. Good memory.
Yep. It's on the video. They're at this old castle. Then again, what's a new castle? That's a beer. They were at this castle and they're just having so much fun. And the lyrics, I don't even know what they mean, but I couldn't get it out of my head. I still use it. It's on some of my workout mixes. And when it comes on, I go a little crazy.
Shout out to vocalist Noddy Holder.
Holder. They're English or Scottish, but they're
From England.
Okay.
British rock.
See chameleon lying there in the sun. All things to everyone. Run, run. It was either the song meant nothing or it meant everything. I didn't care because the melody was so fun.
That's interesting. That takes me back to it was a British band that they were on three wheelers and it was like on a cliff when you just said that. Different song, different band, but cliff sides of like England. Driving big wheelers.
Oh, yeah, that does sound familiar. Because we grew up on MTV.
Yeah.
Where you would finally attach the song to a visual. Because before then, you have no idea what the singers looked like, what the band looked like. Now you had a visual.
I'm doing a Google search for big wheeler music video.
And you know what? It'll probably pop right up.
No, it's all recent stuff. Maybe I gotta do three wheeler.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's we've gone over an hour here. We pick these topics that we're just getting started, but when I get off these podcasts, I have to kind of walk around for a while. I'm like, whoo, you realize how engaged you are for an hour and a half. I really mining these interesting occurrences and songs and books from your past. What's your favorite workout song right now, Stefan?
Favorite workout song.
Don't repeat it.
I have a playlist on Spotify and it's the 80s soundtrack for what's the Charlize Theron is the main character in the movie.
Oh, that's Atomic Blonde, right?
Atomic Blonde, yeah. So anything from there, I think. There's some Queen in there. There's
all right.
It's a smattering of 80s. So sorry, I kind of cheaped out on that one. But that's my favorite go-to pump me up stuff.
That's great. Blanc. You and I over the years, because you introduced me to Rhapsody, the music site, which is now Napster. You and I have always shared workout songs. It's funny you mentioned Queen because I've always liked Queen. I was watching. I know the movie came out. So I was watching the Live Aid, the real Live Aid performance from 1985 with Queen.
Yeah.
And I cannot get Radio Gaga out of my head.
Oh, that's amazing when they're doing the clapping.
The clapping, and I've always been so intrigued how Freddie Mercury dances. He has his own style. He's such an artist. He's so interesting to watch how he moves.
It's a gallop, and then it's a gallop, and then a reach with his hand, like he's reaching to the heavens.
He struts. He struts to the beat, yeah. And a couple times he takes the microphone stand, and the air guitar is on it, and he plans it out perfectly because Radio Gaga has that really cool that little beat in between the vocal lines. I realized watching that. I probably watched it about over 10 times. I can't stop watching it. The song is so catchy. The way he works, the crowd is so amazing. He's so fascinating. And it's 1985. I'm thinking, what was I doing then? We were getting ready to move into town. And the way he dances, I find that so intriguing. It's the same way when I was a kid. You see something or hear something or read something that strikes you as so intoxicating. You can't wait to indulge in it again, whether it's ice cream or an episode of Silver Spoons. Or Break My Stride by Matthew Wilder. That song is one of those songs that plays in my head a lot. It's from the 80s. I remember sitting at my desk in my room and doing, I don't know what I was doing. I think I was writing a note to a girl, maybe. And I had that song playing in my tiny boombox, and I was just, in my mind, I was strutting. Ain't nothing gonna break in my stride. And that song is on a workout mix. Songs like that, you would never think about it being a workout song, but because it has such a heavy connotation from my past, it is. It actually inspires me in a workout.
You know what?
Sorry, that was a mouthful.
You just did that little jingle there. The band I was thinking about with the three-wheelers is In a Big Country.
Don't, I knew that. That's another one of my favorite songs.
It just hit me like a freight train.
You got to, when we got the phone, that's a beautiful song. You got to listen to it. That's on one of my mixes too.
Yeah. So I think we covered a lot, my good man.
Well, I really wanted to, you know, I write things down, but inspiration, as Willy Wonka would say, is about 80%. And that Radio Gaga, that Freddie Mercury dancing, I find that so intriguing. I'm like, I got to watch him dance again. He's so interesting the way he dances.
Right. No, it's and I think it's interesting because no one else was doing it. He was very free. I think that's the thing you take away is that he just didn't really care. He was just free in expressing himself. And imagine a world without a soundtrack, whether it was movies or books or all these luxuries that we have. Imagine mm-hmm. not having these things that bring you back to a specific time or place in history.
Mm-hmm. And they mean so much to you, you want to share it with others. The sad part is a lot of times that you wanted to experience the joy and revelation that you had with a lot of these things, and everything hits people differently. They may not have it. Heaven to me a lot is going out and filming with Addy on a beautiful day in a beautiful location. Probably to 98% of the other people out there, they're like, oh, that sounds terrible. And I'm glad it does. We all have things that we gravitate towards that trigger us in a certain way to want to go out and do something. I think that's I mentioned earlier we're going to talk about this tech stuff. Maybe we should save that for the next one.
Yeah, that sounds fine.
Because we've already gone an hour and 16 minutes. Again, anyone still listening, thank you so much.
the three people that are still listening.
I picture guys in his chair, he's nodding off. But that's my podcast. I'm inspired by it. That's how it goes. If you're not a big fan, you can go to another one. A couple days ago, one of my videos on YouTube, really popular one, a guy wrote, and I laughed for about 2 minutes. All he wrote on it, the comment, was, get a life. I think that's so fun. And I wrote back, like, well, what do you mean? And he never, I mean, come on, get a life.
And that's something you put on a t-shirt, but you don't know what it means.
Yeah, well, obviously this person is, anybody who's going to record a Yoga for Men video needs to just get a effing life. I finally found a guy who needs a life. I thought it was funny. You know, in this life, I don't get offended by things. People write rude things, and I usually write back like, well, I'm sorry you feel that way, and you want me to recommend something else? And a lot of times they come back, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry about that. So it's okay. I know a lot of some of my other fitness friends, somebody writes something rude and it really gets to them. So you laugh it off. When you said that,
it reminds me of the 80s film Airplane, when they're going through the airport and he's trying to, the person's like, well, how about Buddhism? And he's going through all the sects of things.
Yeah. Scientology. They used to do that. They would hang out. All these different religious people would hang out and give you flowers, Hare Krishnas and Christians and Jehovah's Witnesses. How about Jerry's kids? More nuclear power.
Oh, get a life.
Punks. get a
yoga's
life.
Yoga's not your thing? How about Pilates?
How about Pilates? And he punches me in the face. I thought that was really funny. Get a life. You never know. You put yourself out there, you're going to get some funny comments. But
awesome.
As we say, think about an 80s song and just laugh about it and write something fun back. And a lot of times people like, hey, I'm sorry about that. That's cool. Like, okay, that's the Christian in me also. Your instinct is to say, well, you get a life. I'm like, well, that sounds silly. no, you get a life, because this is somebody you don't know. You don't know what they look like. You don't know anything about them. So, all right, my good man. Well, Stefan, I would advertise your podcast, but I think you got rid of it, didn't you?
Decommissioned it. I really had the I don't know, the passion to be the Ed McMahon, never Conan O'Brien or Johnny Carson. So,
well, no, you're on about every sixth or seventh podcast of mine. These are fantastic.
Andy to Conan or McMahon to Carson, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sidekick. I want anybody listening, if you're still listening, leave a comment. Leave a comment to some of your soundtracks. What's a song that pops to mind instantly from your childhood? What's a book? What's a movie that you've watched more than any other that's left such a lasting impact on you? You find yourself pulling themes from that movie into your life as it goes on. And thank you so much for listening to the Sean Vieg podcast. And thanks, Stefan, for coming by again.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, what else are you going to do? Come on, do it.
Watch Seinfeld.
Oh, that's all right. Laverne and Shirley. Again, this is a Sean Vieg podcast. And if you've been enjoying it, please leave it a good rating and a comment, whatever platform you are listening to it on. I really appreciate that. And it really does help me out. Watch for new guests every week, even with Dane coming, my baby boy coming. I'll have him on. I'll ask him a whole bunch of questions, and he'll just go, and you want to learn more about me, go to SeanVeegFitness.com, where you can download my free fitness app, subscribe to my YouTube channel, sign up for my online training program, and much, much more. All right, I'm going to go have a little lunch, and I'll look forward to the next podcast, my friends. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.